You're listening to ReachMD, and this is a special edition of Project Oncology, sponsored by Beyond Spring Pharmaceuticals. Beyond Spring, bringing change to cancer care. Here's your host, Dr. Matt Bernholtz.
This is ReachMD, and I'm Dr. Matt Bernholtz. My guest today is Dr. Alan Mida, Associate Professor of Medicine and Co-Director of Experimental Therapeutics at the Samuel Oshin Comprehensive Cancer Institute of Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. Dr. Mida has served as principal investigator in numerous clinical trials, including a recent Phase 2 study for the vascular disrupting agent, plinabulin, which is the focus of today's discussion. Dr. Mida, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you with us. So to start, can you share with us your perspective as a medical oncologist and cancer researcher on the scope and burden of non-small cell lung cancer?
Lung cancer continues to be a major health issue. It's number one killer in the United States. It kills more patients than breast cancer, prostate cancer, and colon cancer combined. We have made some progress for the treatment of lung cancer, but still much remains to be done, and therefore, any new trial with new drugs that are trying to improve the outcome of these patients is always welcome.
Well, on that note, why don't we turn right into those trials and talk about the drug molecule that you've been actively investigating, which is called plinabulin. I'm curious, how did you become interested in this molecule in particular and get involved in its lines of investigation?
So this is a very interesting story because I started working with plinabulin from the very beginning when it reached development in humans in the very first phase one study. And at that time, we thought that plinabulin is just a vascular disrupting agent. And its vascular disrupting effects are very well documented. And we saw some interesting results in the phase one study. The drug was safe, well tolerated, and we saw a few patients who had interesting tumor responses. And we thought that this drug is worth developing further. Later, a further research done, not just a vascular disrupting agent, but has very interesting immune modulating properties and also neutrophil rescuing effects. And that means that this old drug has now a new life with some new and interesting mechanisms of action.
So I'd like to talk about that further because you gave me a sense of what the molecule is. I have a basic idea of how it works now, but where does it fit in this immune therapeutic armamentarium?
It's really a very unique immune modulating agent. Plinabulin, again, is a drug that binds to the tubulin. And by binding to the tubulin, it has vascular disrupting agents, as mentioned, and can induce direct tumor killing, which leads to liberating tumor-specific antigens and an immune response. But further, later research has demonstrated that after binding to tubulin, plinabulin can also activate the JUNE pathway in the dendritic cells, which leads to the expression on the surface of the dendritic cells of CD80 and CD86, which sign co-stimulatory signals, which activates the T cells and further boosts the immune response. Regarding its very unique neutrophil protection properties, it's a very nice example of bench to bedside and then back to bench for translational research. In the clinical study that we're going to discuss, we noticed that patients who received plinabulin had less neutropenia, and then we went back to the bench to understand why. And we realized that activation of the JUNE pathway in the dendritic cells also leads to production of IL-6 and IL-12, which are well-known factors that protect neutrophils from apoptosis. And that's the postulated mechanism of the drug in the neutrophil protection.
So it seems that there are a number of mechanisms in play here that convey both solo effects and synergistic effects. Are they totally unique in the treatment space? I mean, is there something that you recognize within this molecule based on this research that made it stand out among other treatments out there?
I do believe this is a unique molecule. And again, it's very difficult to understand in a patient which mechanism of action is prevalent. And I think that it's important to understand that it's probably the synergy and the immune effects, in addition to the vascular disrupting agent and the synergy with other immune modulators, are all equally important. And I think future research will demonstrate which one of these mechanisms are the most important, or better, how to exploit all these multifaceted properties of this drug.
And just to clarify, Dr. Mida, is this drug that we're talking about intended to be used as a solo treatment, or is it to be used in combination with existing therapies?
If I had to make a guess based on its mechanism of action, I think its full potential will be reached in combination, either with chemotherapy drugs or with other immune modulators. Time will tell.
Excellent. Now, you had talked about the neutropenia benefit as one of these interesting immune effects that might have been unanticipated but was observed. Just to get a sense of what that means or translates into as far as clinical outcomes for patients, does that essentially translate into being able to keep a patient at the right chemo dose without having to interrupt it?
Absolutely. So I hope we're going to talk a little bit more about the study, but very briefly, in the study that was recently presented in Orlando for the ASCO meeting, patients who received docetaxel alone had an expected rate of neutropenia or about 30%. Now, patients who received the combination of docetaxel with plinabulin had a much lower rate of grade 4 neutropenia, which was in single-digit percent, 5%. And that was, again, coming as a surprise, and now we try to understand, and I explained a little bit the postulated mechanism for that happening. The bottom line is that in patients who received the combination, no patient had infections or sepsis on treatment, and the dose reductions on the combination arm were much less frequent.
And on that note, I want to turn now to some of the phase 2 data that you did present at ASCO IO. Maybe you can give us a preface with some of the key findings that you shared and how they were received by your peers at the conference.
So the study that was presented was initially a very straightforward study, a phase 2 randomized trial in patients with lung cancer as a second or third line treatment. And patients were randomized to receive either docetaxel alone at the standard dose, 75 milligrams square meters, or a combination of the same dose of docetaxel with plinabulin, 30 milligrams square meters. Later on, in order to mitigate some of the side effects with plinabulin seen in combination, another cohort was opened with combination of docetaxel, 75 milligrams square meters, and the lower dose of plinabulin at 20 milligrams square meters. And the results were quite interesting. The primary endpoint of the study was overall survival, and secondary objective were time to progression, response rate, and safety. In terms of primary endpoint, the overall survival, although it was numerically higher in the combination arm at about 8.7 months versus 7.5 months with docetaxel alone, this did not reach a clinical statistical significance. However, some very interesting data were seen looking at the duration of response. The median duration of responders on the combination arm was significantly higher than with docetaxel alone. Patients receiving docetaxel alone had a time to progression to approximately 1.5 months versus 12 months in patients who received the combination. And that was statistically significant and very intriguing. So additionally, very interesting and intriguing results were seen in a subgroup analysis of patients with measurable lung disease. So in these patients who have large, bulky, measurable lung disease, patients who received the combination of the plinabulin and docetaxel lived on average 4.6 months longer than the patients who received docetaxel alone. That was 11.2 months versus 6.7 months with docetaxel alone. This did not reach the statistical significance due to the low numbers, but it was definitely intriguing. Again, duration of response was higher. Overall response rate was almost doubled in patients receiving combination, 10% with docetaxel versus 18% with the combination of docetaxel and plinabulin. So all these results looked promising and led to the next phase 3 study that is ongoing.
And Dr. Mita, were there also quality of life measures that were monitored with this study? I imagine respiratory relief, fatigue, those elements would be of special interest to this patient population.
So this is an excellent question. And the quality of life was not formally measured in this study. However, the side effects and the safety was very carefully monitored. And we did notice that in patients who received the combination of plinabulin with docetaxel, there was a slightly higher incidence of nausea, fatigue, and diarrhea. However, when the dose was reduced from 30 to 20 milligrams of plinabulin, these side effects were much less, and there was not any significant difference between the patients receiving docetaxel alone versus the combination. A very interesting side effect that we've seen with plinabulin is high blood pressure, but this is a very different high blood pressure than what we see with other vascular targeting agents. The high blood pressure generally occurs acutely in the hours following the infusion, and it's very short lasting, only a few hours. After that, it resolves and it never returns, and there has been no sequelae in any of these patients that had high blood pressure. Additionally, the dose reduction from 30 to 20 milligrams of plinabulin led to a significant decrease of the incidence of the high blood pressure, and mainly the grade 3 high blood pressure, which is the one that is worrying the clinicians. Now, on the flip side, we've seen that the patients who received the combination of plinabulin with docetaxel had less incidence of asthenia fatigue, and also, as mentioned, less neutropenia. And that led to the fact that patients who received the combination had just as good, if not better, quality of life as the patients who received single-agent docetaxel.
That's excellent. And Dr. Mehta, I want to spend a few minutes now talking about the phase 3 study in development that I referred to earlier, because it seems to be catching a lot of momentum. Tell me, what is this trial seeking to find, and which patients are being recruited?
So this is a trial that is hoping to replicate the promising results that we've seen in the phase 2 in a larger patient population. It's a randomized phase 3 study as second or third line chemotherapy with docetaxel plus minus plinabulin at the lower dose, 30 milligrams, which was shown to be better tolerated in patients with non-small cell lung cancer. And they have to have at least one measurable lung lesion, because these were the patients who are driving the most benefit in the phase 2 study. So the study is called the Dublin 3 study, and it's open worldwide. And I strongly encourage any investigators who is interested in this study to search it and to join.
That's great. Is this study also accommodating patients who've failed other therapies such as immune checkpoint inhibitors?
The study is really meant for a second or a third line treatment, but patients who may have received first or second line immunotherapy are allowed to enroll.
And Dr. Mehta, just to help me understand in case I'm a little naive on this point, but I understand that plinabulin here is being studied in combination with both chemo and immune checkpoint inhibitors respectively. Why study both in this case?
It's a very good question, actually. And I guess the answer is that we are still learning about this drug and we are trying to understand its full potential. And therefore, based on the phase 2 data, the data was compelling enough to justify this larger phase 3 study to confirm the promising results. But also based on the preclinical work done showing the synergistic activity with PD-1 inhibitors as well as with CTLA-4 inhibitors, just based on this novel immune mechanism of action of plinabulin, clearly immune therapy combinations are justified as well. And there are a couple of investigator-initiated clinical trials that are either planned or ongoing, combining plinabulin with other checkpoint inhibitors.
And let me ask you then, since we're on the subject of the global phase 3 trial, I think the big question in the room is, how can oncologists who are treating patients with non-small cell lung cancer potentially get involved in the clinical trial directly? Can you talk about that?
So, as I mentioned, the trial is open globally, both in the United States and in Europe, and it's listed on clinicaltrials.gov. Again, it's the Dublin 3 study of plinabulin and the docetaxel combination, and any investigator who is interested in participating can contact the sponsor and the organizing sites and join the study. It's going to be a global effort. It's going to require a lot of patients, so any help on this study is welcome.
Well, with those parting comments, I do want to thank my guest, Dr. Alan Mehta, for joining me to discuss this new player in the immune oncology therapeutic landscape. Dr. Mehta, it was great having you on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
For access to this and other episodes focusing on lung cancer therapies, join us at ReachMD.com, where you can be part of the knowledge. Thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to ReachMD. This special edition of Project Oncology is sponsored by BeyondSpring Pharmaceuticals. Thank you for listening. BeyondSpring is a global clinical-stage biopharmaceutical company developing innovative immuno-oncology cancer therapies with a robust pipeline from internal development and from a collaboration with the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center and University of Washington. BeyondSpring's lead asset, plinabulin, is in a Phase 3 clinical trial as a direct anti-cancer agent in non-small cell lung cancer and Phase 2-3 trial in the prevention of chemotherapy-induced neutropenia. For more information on this clinical trial, please contact Beyond Spring Pharmaceuticals at general@beyondspringpharma.com or visit www.beyondspringpharma.com.